Call to order the work session for the Springfield Planning Commission, January 20th, 2016. And we have a work session item, proposed Springfield Development Code Amendments, draft land use regulations for recreational marijuana activities, including production, manufacturing, wholesale, and retail sales. And we have Jim Donovan.
Thank you, Mr. Commissioner. Mr. Chair, fellow commissioners, we are back with a code package, a fairly brief AIS package. This is sort of our bridge work session. After the council work session that Commissioner Cuevla attended, we've had two meetings, the 15th and 22nd of December, and we looked at the maps, we looked at some buffers, we took your feedback, we went back and incorporated that into what we hope tonight we can look at a code package and come to consensus that we're ready to put more meat on the bones and move this forward into the public process and let the public have their say, and we'll churn through those activities and make our recommendation to City Council. So this evening we start the council briefing memorandum with sort of a narrative summary, and there's basically five parts to the staff report. I won't read these all, but they are generally the recreational code standards, the proposed zoning and special or specific site standards for the other three licenses. We go over the package of specific development standards that accrue to each one of the zoning. We have the non-conforming use section that we've discussed that protects the existing uses in the city. And number five is the review of the statutory definitions and inserting our code definition. So we've reviewed a couple of sets of those, and I think Mary Bridget and staff will get to either statutory language verbatim or something that captures what we're recommending as well, if we miss anything. So just a little direction from the chair here. I can be fairly brief. I can move you through the first part and say that the first part of the staff report addresses the use tables in the code, and they reflect our permitted and special use. If you'll just recall that the S is a permitted use, it's subject where the asterisk is present to site plan review, and it refers you to section 4.7 for the specific development standards. If we're okay on that, or if anyone has questions on the tables, we'll jump ahead to those standards.
Sound good?
Okay. Then section two, beginning at the bottom of page five. With retail, there's not a lot new from what we discussed at our previous meetings. You are licensed and registered, so that covers medical and recreational. So you're licensed or registered by the state. That will be a submittal requirement, a locational requirement. Licensed and regulated in accordance with the municipal code for our city licenses. You're located to take access on a collector arterial. You're fully contained in a permanent building in the community commercial or major retail commercial, reflecting the tables. And then you are prohibited in any district except CC and MRC with the retail uses. Clarify some of the secondary use. We'll touch on that in a moment when we get to industrial. Where we left off on the buffering, we're permitted by this code, a retail facility shall not be located at the same address as another licensed or registered marijuana business, shall not be within 1,000 feet of the schools as required by statute, or within 1,000 feet of another retail outlet. That is still in there. It still addresses the separation of all the uses. We're looking at it comprehensively, and we were leaving that one in. Number four on page seven is the park separation. And if you recall, we were in the middle between some discussion with Lamellane about 1,000 feet, and that being at least initially acceptable to staff, subject to some review with the board. The dispensary business folks asked for a 250-foot separation on that. I kind of went just below the midpoint and went with the 500-foot buffer. And I have some discussions upcoming with the policy staff person from Lamellane. I spoke to Bob Kiefer about that today. So our work will be continuing with them. And they'll be involved in the process. It may go up, it may go down. Number five is the 50-foot residential buffer. If you remember, we looked at this on the maps, and the idea here again is just that you will not have, by virtue of this, any property within 50 feet of the residential district will not have a marijuana retail outlet on it. So you won't have one next to a home in the standard application. The additional regulations. We shall not have a drive-up window. We shall not operate from a temporary facility in any zone. We shall provide for secure disposal. We shall not include outdoor storage. We shall preclude any use of products on the site unless expressly exempted by state statute, of which there is one, and that is medical, and that's an employee may use their medical marijuana under the appropriate circumstances according to statute. I believe they're in a separate space. They're not visible from the lobby or any business person. They're ventilated, etc. So that's the one that we know of, but I didn't want to detail that out. And they shall not be allowed as a home occupation in the residential districts. At six, the retail outlets shall be licensed or registered, licensed or regulated, I believe. I just touched on that. Moving on. Pardon me. That, unless there are questions, was our best effort at compiling everything with regard to retail. That was the combined recreational and retail analysis. And again, this will get us started if the commission agrees this evening. If there are no questions, I'll jump right over to industrial. And this, I think, was probably the meat of the discussion when last we met on the 22nd of January. We had some discussion about indoor and outdoor and what are the usual or perceived impacts of that. And we were talking about olfactory uses. We were talking about some of the other characteristics, if you will, of processing and some of the other licenses as well. And we begin with the production or grow facilities. And I put into this briefing memo the state licensing requirements. And we begin with indoor tier one, which is up to 5,000 square feet of canopy. And you can see under number one, I put in all of these the full complement of our planning tools that we discussed, which is lot size, buffering, and some sort of mechanical treatment to either minimize or eliminate the exhaust of some of the olfactory impacts. There's a lot we could try to do with the latter, the scrubbing or the mechanical cleaning. As you'll see, we tried to put it in somewhat generally. I didn't want to go into proprietary systems. I didn't want to go into a measurement. We used the language mitigate or eliminate to the best, you know, of our ability. So those were the three tools. And back to tier one on indoor, we have tier one shall be located within a permanent structure, of course, on a lot no smaller than 1 acre in size and shall not be located within 500 feet of any residential zone or any zone having or allowing residential uses, i.e. mixed use, and shall provide the controlled exhaust system. So there you see the combination of lot size, buffer, and scrubbing, if you will, if I may use the short hand term for that. Indoor tier 2 allows you to go up to 10,000 square feet. This is approximately the size of a common medium to large size residential lot, right? This is, of course, in the heavy industrial only, but I just want to give you sort of a size relationship. The combination of the three aforementioned tools on this one will be inside of a structure on a lot 5 acres in size and shall not be located within 1,000 feet and shall also use scrubbing. So as we go up the continuum on canopy size, we go up the scale on the two numerical standards. And if you jump over now on 3 and 4 to outdoor production, the first thing you notice is that the canopy sizes are considerably larger. The first one is double the max of indoor, and that is tier 1 allows up to 20,000 square feet or approximately a half an acre. That would be the approximate size of the vacant lot across the street from the fountain in the front of City Hall. If you can remember that lot all the way to the next building over across from Sprout, that's about 20,000 square feet. So that's tier 1, and on the continuum of tools, we go up to 5 acres in size. We have 1,000 feet from residential zoning districts, and we shall have scrubbing on any structure used directly for production. At this order of magnitude, I can envision something that has other ancillary buildings, other operations. You have shipping and receiving, perhaps. You have paving and circulation, parking, employees, et cetera, et cetera. So the size is not limited just to the olfactory impacts. It's sort of a matter of practicality when we're doing site plan review as well. And those are staff's proposal, or offering, if you will, on the size and other tools for the zoning as it's shown on the tables. If we go to the special standards,
tier 2 outdoor production.
Oh, I'm sorry. We're up to 10 acres in size. This is the high end, so this is the other end of the other goalpost, if you will. So from tier 1 indoor to tier 2 outdoor, again, you're at 40,000 square feet, an acre in size, and we go up to a 10-acre lot, 1,000 feet from residences, scrubbing on any building used for production. Oh, my apologies, Commissioner. Ready to jump to processing. And I should stop here and ask if there are any questions with this beginning point. I look at the numbers, and it was a combination of planning expertise, the new impacts that we can't really measure just yet, looking at site plan requirements, and looking at the fact that we're limiting grow or production activities to heavy industrial only. When we do the full staff report and come back, if commissioners give us the nod tonight, we'll do some additional mapping. I think we'll electronically have it up on the board, and we'll have it for your review. If it looks overly impactive, if it its applicability limits the number of lots so severely that it appears as though we're eliminating the ability to do it, then staff, you know, may prepare a couple of maps and options for your consideration.
Question about the tiers. They seem as if the state tier system seems as if really limited in, you know, you either have up to a fairly large lot or up to a really large use. Would there be any thoughts as to the city designing tier 1 ABC, tier 2 ABC to instead of having the $5,000 and $10,000, maybe have a $2,000 separate type of.
I guess, great question, number one. Thank you, Commissioner. With regard to industrial production and the state's rules that they have, these are keyed to many of the state, other state regulations in terms of security and other things that are in statute. I guess on industrial, I wouldn't want to suggest, and I certainly am at your service, but I would not want to suggest that we put anything more restrictive in state production. I think where we're going to look at smaller values and canopy sizes is in probably in the second round of regulation after some of the more of the legislative smoke clears, if you will, on residential. The combined or the dual systems that allow different grows as, you know, an individual in our state. So what you can do at home, I think, is going to be a great place where we're going to examine smaller sizes than this, much smaller, given, as we noted earlier, a large residential lot is 10,000 square feet. If you have a 5,000 square foot lot and we begin the discussion of looking at personal grow, you can imagine where that will drive the number down. And Commissioner, I think your point is well taken when we start to look at that. The number of grow cards that you might be able, the number of plants, the number of, or the size of the canopy. So that would be my recommendation. Pausing one more for any questions or good questions.
Well, I appreciate this. I think this makes sense. I think this is a really good starting point, gentlemen, and I also appreciate the comment. But, you know, I think initially you have to have a place to start. And I think the, you know, having up to 5,000 and then the 5,000 to 10,000, you know, you may have a grow facility that's larger, proposed larger than that as well. It's indoor. So that might be something else that we'll have to deal with.
And that may happen when they go back to short session beginning next month and then the next legislative session. Right now, these are what's in statute. So we'll go with the statute first, and I think you're right. I think the numbers will go up and down, as will many things that affect how our new business owners do business. And we will be involved probably in some stuff, but not all. Some we will let OHA and OLCC continue to regulate. If there are no other questions, we'll jump over to processing. And if you recall our discussion previously, there's laboratories that do work. There are several products that are created through the processing license as issued by the state. I think most of our concern or discussion centered around the extracts that use open and closed butane systems. I've learned that there are several ways to go about that process. And people who design and use those processes correctly contend that when things blow up, it's usually some sort of really egregious mistake that no legitimate business would make. Now, that being said, I thought it a good starting point to separate processing of all other products from the extracts. So under number one, you can see that we allow the testing and all the other kinds of process and procedures that results in oils, edibles, things that are packaged and moved along to wholesalers and retailers in the LMI and the HI districts. And they shall be completely enclosed within the structure, and they shall have the scrubbing system. really didn't warrant the size. I think the industrial standard lot size requirements, industrial parks, incubator centers are all good places where this type of work, you know, basically creating these products and turning them into some bakery product or snack is fairly innocuous, so it didn't warrant some of the use of the other two tools. But under number two, when you look at cannabinoid, if I may take a stab at that one, extracts, which involve the butane process quite frequently, they shall only be located in the heavy industrial district and shall be 500 feet from any residential district. And you shall provide the exhaust system with filters. It's a beginning point. Again, this is an industrial process. We have lots of industrial process and procedures out there right now. If you take a look at chrome plating, other things that use either heavy metals, hazardous materials, it's the reason we have a DWP, because we have these things already existing in our community. However, this is a new industry. And we have recent, very recent, and local examples of what can go wrong when done incorrectly. So the 500 foot is sort of a nod to, you know, what we've experienced ourselves locally. And again, the beginning point. So if commissioners are comfortable with that as a beginning point for the public and for you to consider your recommendation, I'll take questions and move on.
Just a process check.
Mm-hmm.
Jim? At some level, we're going to take public comment on this information. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're in work session now, but this is going to be a legislative process. Is it going to come to us with a recommendation to the council?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So it'll be two bites of the public apple. And I would expect, you know, we'll be targeting our public involvement too. I mean, we've talked a little bit about the daycare centers. What you won't see in here is a proposal on daycare separation. However, while I was unable to find any local sort of oversight organization, association of daycare providers, etc., we'll be noticing those folks and we'll be talking to them and we'll be taking that kind of public involvement. So we're going to sort of rattle the bushes here and give everyone their fair chance. The state licensed wholesale facilities, if you know, fairly straightforward, and straightforward in the use tables, and they're permitted, and there shall be no retail sales permitted with any wholesale operation. We just did not want to go down that road initially. Keeping retail, if we're going to have 1,000-foot buffers from one another, and we're going to have buffers on production, and we're going to have a couple of limitations on processing, by the time you get down to wholesale, it's more about the security. If there's anything that we wanted to supplement the state statutes with, it was no retail sales and no outdoor storage of materials. So, in brief, that's wholesale.
Question, isn't outdoor storage of materials, doesn't that seem a little overly restrictive? I mean, pallets or other things that are totally benign to or totally acceptable to one sort of outdoor storage or one type of wholesaling would not be allowed in this particular type of wholesaling. It just seems a little overly restrictive.
Point well taken, Commissioner, and I don't think we have to wait till the next staff report to propose some language there. I do think, just as we identify buildings on the large lots, then, you know, not all buildings need to be scrubbed, only the ones that are involved in production. I think we can find some language on this that tightens that up a little bit, because your point's very well taken. Parking of vehicles, you know, can be considered outdoor storage, stuff like that. So let us dial that in for a bit for the next rendition.
Okay.
With your permission, then, at the bottom of 9 of 10, we're looking at the non-conforming use standards. And that's just protection for the businesses that have come into the city and gone through our licensing and review packages to date. And we'll probably have a few more once we start to issue Lux. People will be identifying other sites, and people will be applying for licenses. I don't know exactly how that timing's going to come down with regard to the adoption of these standards, but there may be a couple more, and so we'll be on the order of, you know, a half a dozen retail. And if the state were to issue a couple of grow licenses after Lux and after processing, we could have a couple of licensed grow operations before it's over. And so just a nod, as we would to any business in the community, if you're operating lawfully and something comes along, you're a legally created non-conforming use. And so they'll be allowed to continue under those standards in the code. In our last discussion, we talked a little bit too about site plan review and all of us doing what we do as planning commissioners and staff and engineers, planners, environmental people. G is planning review, and it identifies MDS and site plan review. And it does say this was the appropriate place, I felt, to put number 4 under G, which is all marijuana businesses allowed under this code shall occur on properties inside the city limits. These are urban uses. If you're going to conduct even a grow operation, and even if you want to do it outdoors, if you find the right place, heavy industrial, and you do that, that's an urban use. You're engaged in the production and retail of a product. So be it indoors or outdoors, we'll be doing planning review on the new establishments. And lastly, as I alluded to at the onset, we'll put some work into the statutory language and definitions. I kind of favor the work that the City of Bend did, and that was in one of your former packets. They captured the statutes and their approach fairly well, and we'll be using that as a model. Definitions aren't that hard to codify. So we'll add that. Along with some findings, we are doing code. We'll have to put together legislative findings, and we'll be pulling together a lot of information that you've reviewed, the council has reviewed over the process, and putting together a staff report, which brings me, I guess, full circle back around to we will have to notice the LCD as soon as we get a draft staff report and findings pulled together. That puts us probably into the March 2nd Planning Commission meeting, and even that's aggressive, but we are trying to move this along. So I think that would be the target date without a calendar in front of me, subject to, you know, the first or possibly the second meeting in March. That's when we'll be bringing this back. We'll be providing public notice, and we'll be entertaining the public while we do the next review. And I guess we will try to be as explicit and do our work the best of our ability, so that you may be ready after that review and considering public testimony. You could make a recommendation that night, or if we get some public testimony and you want us to do some modifications and you want to see them again before you make your recommendation, that could be a one or a two meeting set when we do that.
James?
Well, I was just, you know, prior, I guess my question was, will we get one more work session, or will we have an update, a staff update prior to the hearing?
We could do either or both. We could give you a staff update at one of the intermeeting meetings, but we will have a work session before we go in and invite the public to testimony. So on that night, the 2nd, we'll do work session and public hearing.
Okay.
I had a question. These pertain to just inside the city limits?
These do. Just inside the city limits. So I did not put anything into the urban growth UF10 overlay district. We relied on these urban uses, and to regulate them, we will have site plan review and enforcement of site plans.
Now, we have two facilities in Glenwood, which are 150 feet apart. One is medical sales, and the other one's processing. They're outside the city limits. How will that affect their future?
Well, coincidentally, I am unaware that they have any planning approvals. And I'm also aware that they may have gone through City of Eugene or Lane County. That is something that I will have to research further. It is outside the city limits, unless they've annexed.
No, they're right on Brackett Boulevard.
Yeah. So they may have options of beginning an annexation and doing a land use process, but...
They're existing right now.
Oh,
in operation.
I'm aware. Yeah, that's why we tend to work with people that come in and get land use approval, and others that don't follow the rules may not fare as well as others.
When we get back to another meeting, we have some mapping on just where the riverfront district boundaries are, because I think that Glenwood, you know, itself offers a number of retail areas that might fit quite well.
We can do that. We certainly can. We'll identify that. Remember that the majority of Glenwood Riverfront is mixed uses, mixed use commercial, residential, and mixed use employment. So they'll be precluded from any retail sales. Funny thing about the refinement plan is it targets local services for those local uses and intended purposefully not to compete with downtown and other commercial zoning districts. So as we have reviewed and discussed the mixed use, because they allow residential and for that other purpose in Glenwood, are not permitted zones for the retail uses. The industrial districts, we have the grows limited to HI, and we have the other ones in the LMI only. So again, marijuana businesses and residential uses are not a combination of uses that we're recommending at this point.
Other questions? Thank you.
Then I will move this forward to compilation and some further staff writing and a lot of legislative findings that go with any code update.
You're getting pretty good after the last couple of meetings we had.
It sinks in.
All right. I don't think there's anything else on the agenda tonight, so I'll adjourn the work session for the planning commission.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.